This Easter morning, as we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. It's so wonderful to read these words, especially this time of year. We'll start in Matthew 27, verse 57. This is right after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ really died. He was dead. When evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And when he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. Think about the boldness it would take from this man named Joseph of Arimathea. For him, a prominent member of society, but he was one of Jesus' disciples. We also know there was another man named Nicodemus who met with Jesus at night because for fear of the Jews, for fear of the religious leadership. And here's another man, Joseph of Arimathea, and he begged the body. So in verse 59, and when Joseph had taken the body, notice it's the body. It's very important that we realize that Jesus Christ actually was dead. He took the body and he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. This would be like a sheet. Like a sheet. And he laid it, he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and he departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together. Notice when this happened. The next day, they came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Who are these keepers? They were the ones of the watch that were made sure to be there so there'd be no question, right? No question. And they became as dead men. They weren't dead, but they were like... Not every day you see you have an earthquake and an angel come rolling a stone and then sitting on top of the stone. They obviously saw something magnificent. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. Why don't we read the next words together? He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. He is risen. What a cry of victory. The leadership of the day did not believe in the resurrection. They made sure that the tomb had a watch to make sure that no one would come. And by the way, what did they do to the door, the stone? They sealed it. They sealed it. Verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And the chief priests with great joy, no, wait a minute, doesn't say that, does it? Verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, big money, saying, say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were told or taught. And this saying that the disciples had come at night while we slept and stole the body, this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. It was of vital importance that they discredit the truth about the resurrection, because it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that authenticated him, that verified that the sacrifice that Jesus Christ sacrificed was legit, and God raised him from the dead. They tried to thwart the truth from getting out. We try to hold forth the truth in hopes that it gets out. The truth that Jesus Christ indeed is risen. In Romans, we're going to turn to Romans now, Romans chapter 1. We'll see how vitally important the resurrection is in our beliefs, in our daily living, and in our hope of hopes about Christ's return. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He was declared, clearly showed, plain, that he is the Son of God. He was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection. And his resurrection truly authenticated that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Christ. Christ means anointed. He was the anointed one. He is the King, anointed by God. He is the Christ, the Messiah that all of Judea hoped for, the coming of the Messiah. And I think about when we believe Romans 10, 9 and 10, and a great part of that is that we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we truly believe that this Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is the Son of God, and we know that God hath declared him to be so and showed all the world that he is the Son of God by raising him from the dead. By no means are we belittling the work of the cross, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did on the cross. But the resurrection sets it in a whole new plane. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes known to the whole world and verifies, authenticates by God himself that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God. If we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, it's Peter on the day of Pentecost. What must a Christian believe? We must believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. And we believe that Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was the sacrifice, was raised from the dead. You look throughout the book of Acts, what was preached more than any topic? The resurrection from Jesus Christ, resurrection from the dead. In verse 24, let's go to verse 22. I think that gives us a better running start. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. How was he approved? By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Whom God hath raised up and loosened the pains of death. That word pains in this verse is the word for birth pangs. Birth pangs. Jesus Christ, as we can see in Colossians, as we can see in 1 Corinthians, he was the first born from the dead. He was the first fruits of them that slept or have died. And these, as it says here, God hath raised him up. God hath raised him up. For it was not possible that he should be holden of it, that he should be holden of death, that death would have a hold on him. And I was thinking of that verse the other day, and I just wanted to have a little more clarification of that. Why wasn't it possible? Why wasn't it possible that death should hold him? And I looked, and I know that death should not, it's not possible that death should have hold on him, because it's prophesied in the Word of God. It's prophesied that he would rise again. You can see in the Old Testament, you can see this section here that we're going to continue reading, from the book of the Psalm 16 about that he would not leave his soul in the grave. And the scripture says that the scripture, the word of God, cannot be broken. And if God said and prophesied that Jesus Christ would be raised from the dead, then Jesus Christ would have to be raised from the dead. It's not possible that death should hold him because God said that death would not hold him. And it's not possible to break the word of God, the scriptures. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou, O God, right, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, for he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, this David, King David, therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, David, a prophet, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, or the grave is what that means. His soul was not left in the grave, and neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. When we think of this, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Make it clear. Who raised Jesus Christ from the dead? It was God, the Father of glory. The God and Father of Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have people say, well, you know, Jesus Christ, that there's proof of his deity because he got himself up from the dead. Yet the scriptures clearly say it was God, the God and Father of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Father of glory, is the one that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Why did God have to raise up Jesus Christ from the dead? Because he said he would raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And Jesus Christ was dead. Jesus Christ was dead, really dead. And we believe that God raised him from the dead. If Jesus Christ wasn't really dead, what can we have to believe that God raised him from the dead if he wasn't really dead? And what do we have to believe in our hearts of hearts if Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead? If we buy the lie that the world says that Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead. His disciples came at night while we were sleeping, the watch said, and stole his body away. The only thing they leave out, but, oh yeah, and we were paid big money to say this. And the chief priests, the legal leadership there, would go to the governor, would go to Pilate and say good words about, take care of that. Because what would happen to a Roman soldier if they left their post or fell asleep at their post and the disciples really did steal his body away? You know what the punishment for those soldiers was? Yeah. Yeah. So they manipulated the situation, but we know the truth. And the truth is that the God and Father of Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And this is what we celebrate today. We celebrate this because he lives, we live. Because he was raised from the dead, we shall be raised. We shall be changed. The Jesus Christ that we see in the Word after the resurrection is a different cat than the Jesus Christ you saw before the resurrection. Did the angel have to roll the stone away for Jesus Christ to get out of the tomb? No. He had to roll the stone away for the people there, the women, and later, Peter, John, later, that they could see that he wasn't there. Because in that new resurrected body, Jesus Christ could be here one moment, there the next, in a room with the doors locked, and boop, he's right in the middle of the room. So getting out of a tomb with a stone rolled over it would be no shake for the Christ, the resurrected, glorified Christ. How wonderful that is to know. You know, in Romans there, I talked about the scriptures prophesying about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. And when Jesus Christ was alive, some of the religious leaders, they said, show us a sign. Show us a sign and we'll believe. What greater sign is someone being raised from the dead? And did they believe? No. And you know what sign Jesus Christ said he would show? No sign except the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah. Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days, 3 nights, seaweed wrapped around his head. And you can read from the book of Jonah that Jonah was raised from the dead as well. Coughed out on the beach. And then Jonah continued his mission to Nineveh to preach the word of God. And Nineveh believed and repented. Jesus Christ says there's not going to be any other sign other than that. And the sign was the sign of Jonah. And Jesus Christ was in the earth 3 days and 3 nights. 3 full days. And God raised him from the dead. What a victory. We live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We live today in that. And we shall live in the future, in the truth of the resurrection as well. If we go to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, many times when I do a funeral, or you've been to a funeral, you'll see 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is one of the key scriptures about the hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is another one. But 1 Corinthians 15, we see that the hope that we have of eternal life is founded upon the truth of the resurrection. For if there was no resurrection of Jesus Christ, there would be no eternal life for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Can you imagine? Paul's teaching them, telling them, delivering unto them the truth about Jesus Christ dying for our sins and that God raised him from the dead. And then he says, and there's a lot of people that are still alive that saw it. Verse 7, after he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. I persecuted the church. When did Paul get to see Jesus Christ in his resurrected body? On the road, right? It was bright as the sun. Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? Why kick against the pricks? I got a special mission for you, to bring light and deliverance unto those who do not see the truth, unto the Gentiles, right? He had a special mission that by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's glorious resurrected body. Paul saw that. So you have the proof of the resurrection. When we continue with that, it says, if we go back to the beginning of this chapter, it says, moreover, brethren, verse 1, moreover, brethren, unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. So he's keeping memory what I've preached unto you. And then this part here, where he's telling about the resurrection. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we be found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if it's true that the dead not rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are still yet in your sins. Can you mean that? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, Christ risen, he's risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since man came, by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man is in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Remember the first fruits of them that slept? The firstborn from the dead? Christ the first fruits, and then afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. How crucial is our Christian faith that we believe in the resurrection then? It's necessary. It's paramount that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that he died for our sins completely, a completed work of redemption on the cross. But without the resurrection, it would not be verified. It would not be authenticated. Without the resurrection, we would be 60, 70, 80 years, and then what? That would be life. But because we know the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it really did happen, that the God and Father of Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, really did raise him from the grave, we have that hope living and real in us. And not only is our life now changed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the hope that we have in our heart is also based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ as well. So on this day, we can say, for he is risen, and we can mean it, and we can celebrate it, and we can be excited about it, and it's the foundation of the Christian faith that God raised him from the dead. That God raised him from the dead and sat him at his own right hand, the throne of majesty in heaven, And he's just waiting from his Father for the word, go get him. And we can thank God for this. Thank God for the truth of the resurrection, living and being real in our hearts this day. Happy Easter. Amen.